Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, January the 11th, 2015.
Let me check. Is Melissa here this morning? Melissa. Ah! Wow. Okay. Melissa, come. And we're kind of excited for Melissa to be with us. And would you just kind of give us a thumbnail sketch about what you've done and where you're headed and so forth, so we'll know how to pray for you. And in a second, I'm going to ask Camilla to come and pray for you.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Hi. Okay, so I'm at the end of my furlough. I came back on September 3rd, and I had, just what seemed like a monumental amount of money to raise. And I just didn't know, and I just kept saying, I'm just going to trust, and just keep talking, and which I don't really have a hard time doing. And just praying and hoping and trusting and sharing the stories and the passion that I have for Italy. And the Lord has done it. As of this weekend, the numbers are in and all of the support has come in. Well. And it is truly a miracle. I mean, just shy of $10,000 has come in one-time gifts. Just shy of $1,600 of monthly support has been committed in 4 months' time. That is nothing short of a miracle of which you are a part. So thank you so much, and I can't wait to go home. So I'm on a plane on Saturday, and my colleagues, I just got an email from them right after Sunday school, and they said, we cannot wait for you to get back. So we're just going to, you know, roll up our sleeves and keep going. So thank you.
Okay, that's fantastic. Camilla is working with women's ministry now for us, and so I've asked her to pray.
Father, we have been so excited to have Melissa with us over the last few months, and we are just in awe as we've heard her passion and her mission and her dream for the country of Italy, and then to hear this report about her financial support. Father, we are just incredibly thankful for what you're doing and what you've done. And Father, we just plead for the country of Italy. We pray for Melissa and the ABWE team as they work in this community. Father, we pray for them as they reach homes and reach families and reach lives for you. Father, we pray for Melissa. We pray that you would give her strength and good health. And we pray that you'd give her guidance and wisdom. And Father, we pray for us as a church family, that we would be faithful to give and faithful to pray. And now we commit Melissa in this next term to you, and it is with anticipation and excitement that we see what you're going to do, and we give you all the honor and the glory. Amen.
Lord! Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We welcome you this morning and encourage you as we sing together to worship with us in song. Would you stand with me as we begin this morning? Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia. Amen.
Come, Christians, join to sing.
I gladly bow the knee. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. A couple of things I wanted to mention. Tomorrow, there is a viewing at the Chattanooga Funeral Home that's on Moore Road, and Sandy Dameron's mother went to be with the Lord last week, and they're having a viewing on Monday, and then they're going to have the funeral on, Tuesday afternoon. And so you pray particularly for Sandy at this time. I think this is probably a difficult time, and I think to some degree expected, but also it's a pretty hard time as well. So you pray for Sandy Dameron at this time, and then I understand Mallory is going to have surgery on Thursday. Okay. So surgery on Thursday, and so you pray particularly for the house as they work with their child and all the things that they're facing at this time. And let me see, there was a couple of other things that I wanted to mention, but for whatever reason, I've had this annoying head cold and I've tried about everything, and I finally broke down, went to the doctor, and the office took a divided vote as to whether or not I should take the antibiotics or not. And so, so I'm here, for better or for worse, mostly for worse. Well, we're going to ask the men to come at this time. I know what it was. I even have the note here staring me in the face. Burl Cain's going to be with us in two weeks. Burl Cain is the man that is behind the resurgence of the ministry at the Louisiana State Penitentiary. And we have a special privilege to have him with us on a Sunday, the 25th. And in Sunday school, we're gonna encourage as many of our classes as will to come in here, and we're going to have a question and answer period, because there's just a lot of questions that you have about what they've been doing. But the bulletin, you think about the things that they have. When you drive on to that penitentiary, and you see the big sign that says, Louisiana State Penitentiary. You can't hardly miss that. But then the next sign you see is a branch of New Orleans Theological Seminary. And so they've got a theological seminary. You look out across the landscape, they built six different chapels. They have a prison museum. They have a TV station. They have a hospice program. They have a world-famous prison rodeo, and they have a self-sustaining agricultural system and so forth. But the thing that's amazing is when you walk into that place, you there's a lot of places, you walk in and you're just a little nervous. I visited in jails and prisons and things like that, and it's kind of an unnerving experience. But I'm telling you, I don't know when I've ever felt safer is when I'm walking amongst those inmates and people are talking about Jesus, and they're hugging you and telling you. I mean, I'm not much of a hugger, but they're bigger than I am, and we want to hug, we're going to hug. So, but boy, was it ever neat to hear the testimony of what the grace of God had done in their life. And then, of course, to have the experience of working with the kids and actually just sort of just being like a bump on the log, so to speak, just listening to the various things that the Lord is doing. So, well, that is a great experience. We're going to have that experience, and he's going to speak on Sunday. So please make that a point, make it a priority to come and to be with us for that. And so we thank the Lord for these opportunities. Jonathan, would you thank the Lord for the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this chance to give to you, and we pray for this money where it's going to honor you and glorify you where it goes. In your name, amen.
Thank you.
medley this morning. He does care for us, doesn't he? He is. He watches over us, and he's our provider. He cares for you. Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to take a chance to maybe greet some folks around you. Welcome to our service this morning, and then we're going to sing together. We're glad you're with us today. Before our scripture reading this morning and the message, Nate and Gabby are going to share with us.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. With him.
This morning is Ecclesiastes 7:10 through 14. Do not say, "Why were the former days better than these?" For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that the wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him.
Thank you, Clay. Well, Lee, will you take pity on me and get me another glass of water? We have been working in Ecclesiastes over the latter part of this year in the fall, and I've still got a couple of swings of the bat left with it, and so I thought there's a couple things that would be worth our time to kind of chase down and to see. By the way, before I forget it, Jonathan Bergen, where did Jonathan Bergen go? Is Jonathan Bergen, oh, Jonathan is hiding up here. Be sure and say happy birthday, happy 38th birthday to Jonathan Bergen. And everything. I know that he appreciates the attention, and so if you would do that to encourage him, I think he will be forever joyful. I saw that Steve Wingate has his 60th birthday today. He is right on my heels. That is a troubling thought. So, well, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for what you've been doing for us and for your care and your love. And Father, I thank you for what you've been teaching us. And I pray, dear Father, that we will respond in obedience to you, Father, and that we'll let you direct our lives in every aspect of it, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I guess that there are some passages that really capture our attention more than others. But I think this section in Ecclesiastes 7, there's a couple of verses there that just really encapsulate some concepts and some ideas for all of us to really get a hold of spiritually above everything else. This has been a bad, I wouldn't say it's a bad, but well, bad it is, but it's been a very difficult week. When you think of all of the people that were on their way to work, that were going to the grocery, that we're doing just going about business as usual in Paris, and all of a sudden to be ushered off into eternity, and the way in which that happened, that was a very disturbing set of images and a very distressing kind of thing. And it points up the fact that we're living in difficult days. And it isn't only in Paris, but I think it's going to be really pretty much all over the world, there's going to be those kinds of interruptions before the Lord comes back and deals ultimately with these things. But as I look at those things and as I see those events, a lot of times I find myself saying, well, where's justice in all of this? Where's righteousness in all of this? Where is God in all of these different kinds of events? Because these kind of events are the kinds of things that they cry out and they say, well, why? Why would these things occur? Why would these people function in this fashion? Why would they do what they did? And why would they snuff out these lives? There doesn't seem to be much sense in the things in which they have done. I ran across, I guess it's been about a month and a half ago, Jean Barsonis' little book, Anywhere, Anytime, Any Cost. And she was a gal raised on the Canadian prairie. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, as a young college student, she was challenged in terms of what she was doing with her life. And so she sang a chorus that probably many of us have sung. And the chorus was simply, I've decided to follow Jesus. And she says, 6 decades have passed since I sang this simple but incredibly profound chorus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. And it expressed the intent, the devotion of a teenager who had no idea what following Jesus would look like. And in a very real sense, that what she was portraying, and of course she went off to Bible school and ultimately as a single went down to Panama, and it was at Panama in her second term, shortly after that, after she'd served there about 10, 15 years and everything, a husband, a family, was just in full-blown ministry, impacting lots of folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. But a Marxist rebel just accosted her husband and literally sent him into eternity with all kinds of knife wounds and shots and all different sorts of things. And for the longest period of time, his body wasn't even discovered. And when it was discovered and everything, the disappointment that was there. And for well over 30 years, she had no idea why in the world her husband was taken from the two small children and from her at this particular point in time in their life. And as she looked at these things, and she had more questions than she had answers, she continued and kept on following the Lord in spite of all the things that she was facing. And there was a sense in which she was crying out through the midst of all of these things, well, what is God doing? Why is God allowing these things to occur? Why are these things happening? You know, I've thought about the hard things that I've had some things I've really enjoyed doing here at the church, but I've had some things that that I haven't really enjoyed and have been really pretty difficult to do through the years. I can remember when I just recently came to the church and so forth, and Gary Googe was the youth pastor. He was single at that time. And so was the heartthrob of every college student, I'm sure. But at any rate, I remember Gary had a great ministry to a variety of different people. There was one fellow that he had befriended and had met in doing some visitation. The fellow came to church, and one night, that fellow, who was very, very troubled, went downtown in Chattanooga and got to the top floor of a parking garage and dove to his death. And I remember going with Gary and talking with family and spending time with those people. I'm telling you, that was a hard, 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 hard situation. Because there's times you just don't really feel like you've got real... It isn't just that you don't have good answers, you just don't feel like you have any answers about why this occurs, why that occurs. I remember the Saturday when I was here at church, and as I am frequently on Saturdays, and I remember a police officer came by and said, would you know where such and such a person is? And I said, well, I think he works with our maintenance program here. I said, I think I can chase him down and I can find him. And I knew that Dale was working in the kitchen, and they were putting down some ceramic tile and finishing some things up and so forth. And I remember being there, and he says, well, you need to come with me because this fellow is probably going to need some help here in just a few minutes. And I was over there standing next to Dale when he found out his beloved wife Mary was with the Lord. And Dale's going to speak tonight, because you get to see the rest of the story about what God's done with Dale's life in the days that have gone on, and with Deanna and Annabelle, and how God has blessed them in special, special, spectacular ways. But I'm telling you, when it started, it was a dismal, difficult kind of situation. And if you've not found and you've not been placed in that situation where you've asked that question, what in the world is God doing? If you've never been to that location, you know, you just better buckle up and hang on, because that's going to come. There's going to come a time when you're going to wonder, what in the world, why did God allow this to come in? Why is this happening to me? I have dotted all of my theological I's. I have crossed all of my theological T's. There is no reason in the world why I should be facing, there doesn't seem to be any reason. What can God's plan possibly be in these kinds of situations? And if you've ever been in a situation where you've been questioning and wondering about God's plan and God's purpose, then I'm going to tell you, I think that God's got something for us today in Ecclesiastes 7. It's an obscure place, and to some degree you may even find it to be an obscure verse. But Clay read those verses. He begins by putting it in a context. And the context, of course, is a wise man's perspective, because he's talking about the concept of wisdom. But the heart of what he has to say is in verses 13 and 14. Will you notice with me, really, there's at least three issues here. First of all, take a good look at the work of God. He begins in verse 13 and he says, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? And so he begins by saying, take a good look at the work of God. Now, there's, when you say take a look at the work of God, that's probably the one thing we don't really want to do. We don't want to look at the troubles and the trauma and the accidents and the ambushes and the horrendous kinds of things, the sicknesses, the difficulties, the problems. It's one thing to say all the good things. Yeah, that's part of the plan of God. The things that are very incredible and very positive, and the blessings that come our way, we look at those things, and boy, it's real easy to look at those things and say, yeah, that's the plan of God. I'd recognize the plan of God anywhere. I mean, the good things that come in. But I'm telling you, the divorces, the ambushes, the beatings, difficulties that we face, the sicknesses that we face, that's a different story altogether. We're not as quick and not as easy to be able to wrap our arms around those things and to embrace those things and to say, yeah, that's the plan of God. That's the work of God. But it's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, it's almost as though Solomon just sort of lays out the whole horizon for us, and we look at all of the different things, and we see all of the different kinds of situations, and he says, that's the work of God. Now, I'll tell you what. You may be sitting here this morning, and you may be saying, well, preacher, you just don't know what you're talking about. You don't really know the kind of difficulties that I'm facing. You don't understand the kind of struggles that are occurring. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know my work. You don't understand all of those things. And that's entirely possible. In fact, it's probably much more possible than we could possibly imagine. But God looks at these things, these difficult things, and he has the capacity and he has the ability to deal with those things in ways that you and I can't begin to understand. And you know, we spent a couple of years traipsing through the book of Genesis, and you really get down to the end of it, and you get down into Joseph's experience, and his dad dies, and they bury his dad, and his brothers all come again, and they're older men, and probably was hard for them to get out on their knees before their brother and say, you know, I know what's been said before, but we're really sorry, and we want you to be kind to us and everything. And Joseph, an older, you know, though younger than all of his brothers, with the exception of the one, said, you guys have misunderstood all of this. He said, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good, and he's going to save much people through this whole thing. And Joseph was in a position to be able to look through things and to see past the horizon. And even though that was a miserable experience, being accused of improprieties by Potiphar's wife, even though it was a terrible experience being thrown into a ditch by his brothers, even though it was a terrible experience of rotting in that prison, falsely accused for that whole period of time, even though Joseph had all of those bad experiences, Joseph had waited just long enough to be able to say, you know what, you meant it for bad, but I'm telling you, God's got a purpose. The problem is that sometimes that waiting, that's a terrible thing, to wait to finally see how God's going to do those things. And sometimes you can wait a whole life and you won't necessarily see all of the things that God's doing. Well, this is a striking text. Consider the work of God. And that's a phrase that occurs a variety of times in the Old Testament, the work of God. Well, first of all, the word consider, about 1,200 times. And it's basically the word that just means God saw, see. He said, take a good look. He says, just visualize, see the work of God. And so as he talks about the work of God, he's looking at the whole horizon. He's looking at all of the events that have occurred that God has allowed to take place in the lives of these folks. And he says, consider this work. And then he puts it in kind of a context here. Notice with me in verse 13. He says, for who can make straight what he has made or allowed to become crooked? Well, now that's the troubling part. That's the part that just annoys the fool out of us, doesn't it? Because you see, I've got a perspective in which I think things ought to happen in this way, in this fashion. And you know, I've just got the whole thing just set in a sequence of things. But then God allows those things to take crooks and turns, and things happen that we can't begin to understand. I don't know what kind of crooked experiences have come into your life. I don't know what kind of seemingly dead ends and troubling kinds of things that have occurred that you can't begin to look at. I remember spending time with one of my friends up at ABWE, and he pastors a church, and he just really had a great ministry. And as I got to talking to him, I found out, and I knew that his brother had a very much a national ministry as a Bible teacher, and so both these guys were just terrific guys in terms of ministering for the Lord and having that opportunity to serve the Lord and to work through those things. But we're sitting talking one day, and I found out that the source of that ministry was their parents. Their dad was a pastor, and their dad had been a wonderful minister and a wonderful dad, and had served the Lord, and had just and you know, coming out of this man's, while his dad had a great ministry, the ministry of these two boys went way beyond anything that dad had ever done. But now the dad was in a nursing home, and because of dementia and a variety of different kinds of things, going in to see his dad was a struggling time that he and his brother would have as they would talk to him. And the dementia had robbed his dad of his sweet spirit. It had robbed him of his compassionate heart. It had robbed him of any of a variety of things, so much so that when my friend and his wife would go and they would sit with his dad, it was almost as though they were sitting with an absolute and total stranger. And he asked on more than one occasion, "Lord, you know, why not just take him home? Why this? Why this situation?" And he was abusive, and he was profane. And here was a man that he had never, ever heard use one profane word in his life. And now he was like some sort of an army sergeant. Probably army sergeant wouldn't be appropriate. Navy sergeant or something like that. Does Navy even have sergeants? I don't know. They don't have sergeants. See, if they had sergeants, this is what a Navy sergeant would be like. Okay. Oh, but that's a horrendous thing. And the text says, who can make straight what he's allowed to become crooked? I mean, sometimes the things have taken such turns and twists, and there's things that you just can't begin to straighten out and to make sense of it and to, in any way, shape, or form, pull it together. And so what he's saying, look, he said, even this is the work of God. God's allowed some things to come in. God's allowed some difficulties to come in. And instead of becoming disillusioned and becoming upset and traumatized by all those things, he says, I want you to understand, you've got to see that God's with you through all of those things and through all of those difficulties. And you see, that's the message of Ecclesiastes. That's the message that, there's going to be some difficult times, but God's going to be with you through all of those things. But then I want you to notice, take not just a good look at the work of God, but take a good look at your life. Because he says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And he really begins to kind of contrast these things, prosperity, and then he talks about adversity. And when you begin to talk about prosperity, that's something we can all get into. That's something we can all be encouraged about. That's something that we can all look at and we can say, yes, that's something I can identify with. And basically what Solomon is saying is there's going to come times when things are going to go well and things are going to work out, and there's not going to be difficulties and there's not going to be problems. It's all going to seem to be headed in an appropriate and a right direction. And he said, in those times, he said, you have to be taking a good look at where the Lord is in terms of your life. But in contrast to that, he said in verse 13, verse 14, he said, but in the day of adversity, consider. Now that's the rest of the story. The good times, the bad times. Ultimately, God's wanting us to take a good long look at where we're at spiritually. Well, I tell you, that's not an easy That's not an easy read for any of us, is it? I mean, when I'm facing the difficulties, it's when things are going well, it's real easy to be singing the praises of the Lord. But when stuff is beginning to fall around us, and things are falling apart, and the troubles are there, the difficulties are there, that's a time when it's much more difficult to really turn and to look to the Lord in those things. But you understand, that's the focus of Solomon here. His point is when I've got difficulties, when I've got problems, when I've got issues, ultimately I've got to, instead of looking at those things and enjoying the moment, there has to be a perspective in which I'm looking to the Lord to see what it is that the Lord is doing in my heart and is doing in my life. And then he uses this word, and he talks about considering, taking a good look at it, see what those things are. You know, there's the word consider is used a lot of times in the Scripture. And you can remember some great New Testament references where it talks about in Hebrews 12 and other places where he talks about assessing. And that's literally what he's talking about at this point in time, assessing where things are. Now, I know full well that probably most of the folks that are here are people that there was a day and there was a time when you really asked the Lord to come into your life and to be your Savior. And I suspect that if I called on you and I said, hey, what about this or what about that, it'd be real easy to go back and to say, well, yeah, this is the time. This was the experience that I had. This was the time when I came face to face with the Lord and I make that decision and I receive the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. But when difficulties come and troubles come, a lot of times it's real easy to look at those things and say, well, how can God be treating you in this fashion if you really knew the Lord? So on some level, there has to be an assessment to know, yeah, I really have settled these things. I really know the Lord. I've really asked the Lord to be my Savior, and he's in my life and all. So he says, take a good look at your life. And the comparison there is, in the day of prosperity, enjoy it. But in the day of prosperity, he said, you need to think about it. You need to consider. And here's what you consider. Take a good look at eternity. Because in verse 14 he says, surely God has appointed. And you know, that's a word that's used, you know, well over 2,000 times in the Old Testament, and it's a very typical word. And when you talk about appointed, he has set, that's the focus that the word argues here. He has set the one alongside, literally, the other, so that a man would find nothing that will come after him. And I think his point is simply the fact that ultimately God uses these circumstances, these difficulties of life. And so I've got these troubling events over here that come in, this adversity that comes in. I've got these encouraging kinds of times. But ultimately God wants me to bring those things together, and somewhere in the midst of all of that, what I draw a line under when I finish those things is ultimately, is that am I settled? Do I know the Lord is my personal Savior? Am I focusing on him above everything else in the events and the situations that I'm facing? You know, that's those kinds of events are the kinds of things that that bring out our best, maybe bring out our worst sometimes. I remember when we had 9/11 taking place, and of course you're watching TV, and you know, I remember there was one picture where they had a bunch of senators and congressmen all standing together in an informal choir singing God Bless America. And as you knew the political affiliations and you knew the the political attitudes of some of the people, you were appalled that they were using the word God. I mean, because some of them, that's not usually the way they use the word God and everything. And so they were notorious to not necessarily have much of a testimony. But this dismal thing came to our country, and it was real easy for everyone to say, well, you know, we're turning to God. We're going to take a long look, and we're going to see what God has for us in this situation. And a lot of times, those difficulties can drive us to the Lord, and that's an admirable thing when we're driven to Him. But sometimes we miss Him altogether in that situation. And the Scripture says God's really set those things one against another that we wouldn't find anything other than Himself in those events. You know, I have told you that through the years, you know, you have favorite preachers and people that you really enjoy, and all through the years. And, you know, of course, I've told you that Dr. Brown was always one of my favorites, and, you know, he didn't write a lot of stuff, and so consequently, you really don't have a chance to really follow up on those things. But there was another Southern preacher that was very much like Dr. Brown, and he just had all kinds of insightful little sayings. And his name was Vance Havner, and North Carolina Baptist preacher. And Vance Havner, he wrote a lot, and he had a lot of opportunity to write those things. And what was amazing to me was that Vance Havner married late, and I think was married for about 20 years, and his wife died with a very severe illness. And so he went on back like he was, preaching pretty much by himself. And in some ways, he was very disappointed about those things, as we might have expected. But Vance Havner wrote that as he was thinking about these events, he said, "When before the throne we stand in Him complete, all the riddles that puzzle us here will fall into place, and we shall know in fulfillment what we now believe in faith, that all things work together for good in His eternal purpose. No longer will we cry, 'My God, why?' Instead, 'Alas,' will become 'Alleluia.' All question marks will be straightened into exclamation points. Sorrow will change to singing, and pain will be lost in praise." I tell you what, that's how Vance Havner viewed the difficulties and the disasters and the adversities of life. Somebody else said it, if I can remember it. "I walked a mile with sorrow. She chattered all the way and left me none the wiser for all she walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." You see, the adversities, the difficulties, the things that just live in life that come our way are the things, it's the brick and mortar that God uses in your life and my life to make us into the kind of servants that God wants us to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've sat with two or three men in this church that have lost their wives, and I can remember walking into my office one day, and one of the fellas was sitting in my office. It was the light wasn't on or anything. It was just sitting there in the chair, and you know, you walk in there, and it about fries your mind. Wow, you know, what is happening? But that was a hard, hard, hard time for him. But I'm telling you, God brought him through better than ever through the experiences that he had. I'll tell you what, I wept with Dale and cried with Dale. about all the things that he faced. But I'm here to tell you, you come back tonight and you'll see a joyful Dale about what God's been doing the last 10, 12 years of his life. An amazing kind of thing. What in the world is God doing? I'm telling you what God's doing. God's building his kingdom. And he's doing it piece by piece, board by board, brick by brick, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance. And we look at those things, and those things appear totally insignificant to us. But God's got a plan, and God's got a purpose. And he's going to take Vance Havner's question marks and straighten them into exclamation points. And he's going to do that for you too. Amen? Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. And I pray now that above everything else, we would focus on you and that we respond to you, dear Father, that we just give our lives completely to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing him through his word, loving him through worship and obedience, and serving him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.